I'm very happy to be here in my first meeting in Campbell, the church in Campbell. I visited some of the brothers about 2 years or 3 years ago, but I never met with the saints, so this is my first time. I'm very, very happy. Well, I have no other burden on my heart except what I began to share yesterday in that training in Hyatt Hotel. And I was told that about 40 plus saints from Campbell have registered for that training. So I suppose a number of you were there yesterday. They were all together about close to 1,300 saints. And this training will continue for this whole year. And actually, we will have this kind of meetings once every 2 months, except that we will meet all together like this two times, right? Am I right?
Two times, right.
Two times. But there will be another two times where we will speak only to the English-speaking saints, and that would be in March and in September.
Right.
And the place will be in the South San Francisco Conference Center. And those who have registered should come, who can speak English or understand English. Then in May, the month of May, and also the month of November, we will have live training for the Chinese speaking. So at that time, I have to speak in Chinese. And so that will take place, I believe, in the church in Berkeley meeting hall, And the dates for all these trainings, of course, will be supplied to you by the brothers here, with all the details. I'm very, very thankful to the Lord that He has allowed us to have this kind of training in Northern California. And I'm very thankful also to Him that the brothers, the churches here are open to cooperate with such a training.
Amen.
And last but not least, I'm very, very, my heart is very, very warmed by the fact that so many saints have a heart to be trained and perfected.
Amen.
And so now up to 1,300, that's roughly about half of the saints who meet in the churches in Northern California are joining this training. As far as I know, this kind of training is quite rare. It does not happen in all the places. When some saints heard about this training from other places, they say, when can we have it? When can we start? I said, well, I don't know. You have to pray and you have to wait, and we'll have to see how it goes in the Bay Area. So you are the pioneers. You are cutting the way for many other saints and churches to follow.
Amen.
Now, yesterday, our training, for those of you who were there, you recall, it's quite particular. This training, I started out by saying that the burden is not on truth. Where the burden is not to impart more truth in this training. That does not mean that there is no truth, because the truth is the very Word of God. And so whenever we speak the Word, we speak the truth. But what I meant was that the imparting of truth is not the primary burden of this training. Rather, the burden of this training is practice.
Amen.
Is practice. We call this, the life practice, or the life practices. That would be the focus of this training. You know, any kind of life, including the human life that we're now living, each one of us, we're living a life.
Amen.
That life is actually a composition or a combination of many, many practices. Am I right?
Amen.
So all the way down to the most simple thing called breathing, you know, breathing, is a practice, is a habit, is something you do constantly, something you do repeatedly, something you do continually, in order for your life to be maintained, to be sustained. Am I right?
Amen.
So breathing is a practice. Of course, today, we have been breathing so much, we're not conscious about it anymore. We don't think about how many breaths I take per minute, right? We don't think. And we don't analyze so much. We just do it. It has become something so natural to us. And that's how every practice, proper practice, should be. After so much practice, that practice becomes automatic. That practice becomes spontaneous. That practice becomes just part of you. Then that practice of yours is successful. It is proper. Eating, isn't drinking, isn't the same, right? Drinking is a practice. But now you just drink when you're thirsty, so you don't think about it, but it is a practice. The doctors tell us you need to drink so many glasses a day. I don't. I still don't drink so many glasses a day. If I do, I will not stop going to the restroom, right? But they say, the doctors say, you have to drink 8 ounces of water to be healthy. So you, to be healthy, you need to do that, to drink on a regular basis, right, to have intake of fluids, yeah, on a regular way, then you're healthy, yeah, you see? And we all know how important drinking is. It's not just to quench the thirst. It has a cleansing, am I right?
Yeah.
Function when we drink lots of water. And it is just part of our healthy life, healthy living. Eating, I need not say. If you don't eat, you will die. And so eating is a wonderful practice, but what you eat, how you eat, how often you eat, makes a lot of difference.
Yeah.
So when you say eating, it's not that simple. There is a certain healthy practice of eating.
Amen.
Some people eat unhealthily. They eat a Big Mac, and now they have something called the Great Mac or something like that, all day long, and they eat at odd hours. They eat at midnight. They eat at 3 o'clock in the morning, see? And also when they eat, they don't chew, they just swallow it. And all these are bad habits of eating, and that kind of eating, that kind of unhealthy way of eating will make you unhealthy. So don't think eating, if I just eat, I'm okay. You have to build up a proper practice of healthy eating.
Yeah.
I come back to breathing. Breathing is the same. Well, I breathe, you breathe, everybody breathe. But isn't it true that it is a good practice to go to a place where there is clean air, no smog, am I right?
Yeah.
And to do some deep breathing, especially like in the morning, right? So that kind of deep breathing is a healthy practice. It's not just sniffing the air, it's not just breathing in a normal way, but it is from time to time, not all the time, but from time to time, you do some very deep breathing. And that breathing also has a cleansing function. It improves your circulation, right?
Yeah.
And improve the amount of oxygen in your bloodstream, all of it which is to make you healthy, make you healthy. And then there are many other practices. Exercise, am I right?
Amen.
I don't know how many of you exercise. If you don't, you better. I'm getting old, so I need to exercise. If I don't exercise, I will die early. If I don't exercise, I probably will get sick easily. And exercise is important for my heart, for it's a cardiovascular system. Am I right?
Amen.
It is important for my lungs. exercise, when you exercise, it produces certain kind of, what do you call it, endorphins and other things, so on and so forth. So, brothers and sisters, in our human life, to live a proper human life, you need to build up proper life practices. You build it up by repeating, you build it up by doing it again and again, and in some cases you do it getting advice from doctors, and sometimes you do it like exercise by a coach, am I right? You go to the gym, you have a coach helping you to lift these weights, to do these exercises and stretch and so on. All of this is to help you to have a proper practice. This way you live in a healthy way, you live in a robust way, and you will live longer. Now, in the spiritual life, brothers and sisters, it is exactly the same. Exactly the same. Many Christian believers have a wrong idea about the Christian life. They think the Christian life, because it has to do with God, it must be miraculous. You know, miraculous? It is just, your Christian life is just a lot of miracles happening. The more the better. Let me tell you, miracles are unhealthy. Did you hear what I said? They say, what? There are a lot of miracles in the Bible. I'm going to tell you, a lot of those miracles are unhealthy. In a healthy, normal situation, there's no need for miracles. In fact, our daily life is a miracle in itself. Isn't breathing a miracle? Isn't drinking and eating a miracle? Scientific miracles. Even today, the scientists could not explain everything thoroughly. They are miraculous. These are what we call normal miracles. Miracles experienced as a normal matter. But many Christians have another kind of miracle, that is the spectacular miracles, the unusual miracles. For example, you can live without eating. That's a miracle. And the Christians love that. If there's a way that I don't eat and I still can live, my goodness, I must be a real man of God, you know? God must be with me. there's a long time ago in the northern China, in Brother Lee's hometown, the Pentecostal movement swept through the northern China. You know, the Pentecostal movement. And they are people who believe in miracles and things like this. So there's a sister in the church who got very influenced by these Pentecostal practices. And she got ill. She got sick, very sick. And she said, I will not see a doctor. I will not do anything. I believe God will perform a miracle to heal me. And so she got worse and worse. But she was stubborn. She believed God will heal him in the way of a miracle. And then some brothers and sisters, including Brother Lee, got very concerned for him, and they visited her, and they visited her and encourage her. Sister, yes, the Lord heals, but you must take care of yourself. You must eat, you must take the medicine, whatever. She refused. She refused. She asked all the believers, the saints, to pray for her so that she will be healed. Well, not long after that, she died. And after she died like that, many saints woke up from that kind of almost superstition. Superstition. Right. That somehow God will come and do something miraculous to heal you. Well, there's healing in the Bible. Even Jesus healed a lot of people. There were even not just healing, but raising people from the dead. Quite a few people were raised from the dead in the Bible. But I like to tell you, dear saints, according to the present burden, these kind of experiences are unusual, and these kind of experiences are granted in unusual situations. And for that reason, I will tell you, they are not healthy in the truest sense. Why the Lord Jesus has to heal people, heal, raise the dead, and heal the sick? Well, you say, well, the Lord has mercy on them, the Lord has compassion on them, the Lord is the healer. Well, the Lord didn't heal millions of people, the Lord only healed a few, that's all. I will tell you, and after they healed them, they still got sick later on. Lazarus, you know Lazarus? Amen. The Lord raised him from the tomb. Amen. Let me ask you, did Lazarus die again? Then how about that miracle? Huh? What will you say, Robert? The Lord raised up Lazarus from the dead. But then Lazarus died again. That means that miracle didn't work.
Worked for a little while.
It worked for a little while. Miracles, let me tell you, are performed by God or the Lord in unusual situations because of unbelief. Unbelief. When in a normal situation, when people believe, there's no need for miracles. It's when people they don't believe, it forces God to do something miraculous, supernatural, unusual, to convince people about himself. I give you another example. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, there you have many gifts, all kinds of gifts. And one of those gifts is speaking in tongues, you know, speaking in tongues. And of course, Paul, he was not against speaking in tongues. He was for the proper speaking in tongues. That's why he said, not only there has to be speaking in tongues, there must be interpretation. If there is interpretation, then that's okay, because people will understand what that speaking, what those tongues are all about. But clearly, he said that the speaking in tongues and these kind of practice of miraculous gifts are done to convict the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. To convict the unbeliever. If they're all believers there, there's not much need for speaking in tongues. You just speak with understanding. You just speak in a normal way. That is good enough. We don't need the tongue speaking if there is the faith there. There is the belief there. Now, I'm not against speaking in tongues. I'm just here telling you, saints, a principle, a law related to God, and even a law that is related to this universe. Look at this universe, this whole heaven and earth, the whole thing is a miracle. Am I right?
Amen. Amen.
This planet is a miracle. Yes. They still cannot find another planet like the earth. And the Earth is one of the smallest planets there is, amongst billions of galaxies. They still could not find a place like this. And how are these planets suspended in space? How they revolve around each other in this little system of ours called the solar system? The sun, the moon, the distance between the sun and the Earth, in the exact distance, given so that there will be the exact right temperature, and so that life can grow and exist. All this every day is miracle. Amen. And even you are a miracle.
Amen.
How are you sitting here?
Amen.
And not laying down, dead, you know what I mean? It's a miracle that you're upright. It's a miracle that you are there. I tell you, these are the normal things. The normal things. So, in a proper situation, not only humanly, but spiritually, it is the same. We don't need to ask the Lord to perform some special things.
Amen.
We don't need that. You know what we need? We need to practice the normal life practices.
Amen.
We just need to breathe normally, drink normally, eat normally, exercise normally, rest normally. Am I right?
Amen.
Even, I would like to say something to you all. Don't lose your temper. If you want to die early, go ahead and lose your temper. Get mad. Get mad a lot. You'll die early. If you want to live long, you better be happy.
Amen.
Am I right?
Amen.
So, I am taking too much time speaking to you on this point, but I really, really want to impress all of us brothers and sisters why we emphasize the life practices. Now, these so-called life practices, for this reason, are very, very crucial, very, very important. They are not dispensable. They are not optional.
Amen.
You cannot choose to breathe or not. You cannot do that. You cannot choose to eat or not. You have to eat. So in the church life, in this Christian life we are in today, I like to remind you, dear saints, don't look for miracles, but practice.
Amen.
Every day practice.
Amen.
Practice to breathe.
Amen.
And all kinds of breathing.
Amen.
Light breathing, strong breathing, heavy breathing, deep breathing, all manners of breathing.
Amen.
Practice to drink properly, spiritually. You know, to drink is to drink the living water.
Amen.
And the water is just the Spirit.
Amen.
So to drink the Spirit, you know, it is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12.
Amen.
We've all been baptized in one Spirit into one body, and we're made to drink of one Spirit.
Amen.
So dear brothers and sisters, to be healthy, every day drink more Spirit.
Amen.
At least 8 glasses. Then you'll be healthy.
Amen.
Just drink. And eat. To eat what? To eat the Lord. To eat Christ. How do we do that? By eating His Word.
Amen.
So every day we need to come to the Word and masticate it. And digest it. And assimilate it. Am I right?
Amen.
We need to do this every day. And you'll be healthy.
Amen.
And every day you need to exercise. You need to exercise your spirit.
Amen.
To do something in the spiritual realm, such as prayer. Prayer is a spiritual exercise.
Amen.
You know, me standing here right now, giving you a message, this is a strong spiritual exercise.
Amen.
Don't think I'm standing here with my mind. I'm here deeply exercising my spirit.
Amen.
The more I exercise this way, the more I can speak, and the longer I can speak, but If I ask one of you to come up and speak, I don't think you can do what I can do. Not just because I know more Bible than you. No, not just that. But the exercise. I do this almost on a daily basis. So I'm very exercised. My muscles are bulging, you see. You can too, if you exercise.
Amen.
If you do it again and again and again, you can give a message. You can give a prophecy by practice. Let me say, by practice, not by dreaming, not by hoping, not by desiring, but by doing, practicing repeatedly, again and again and again. Even sleeping is an exercise, is a practice. Some people have bad sleeping habits. They go to bed at 1, you know, they get up at 10. That's bad habits, right? So even proper sleep, rest, takes practice. Okay, I think I convinced you. Now, let's come to the first practice. The first practice of the Christian. What is it? you should be very, very clear. The first and top practice of the Christian is to call on the Lord.
Amen.
To call on God. Now, in the Old Testament, you can find out, you have these verses in your handout. You have this kind of saying, and the people call on God. And even in one place at least, it says the Gentiles, you know, the people who are not the Israelites, not the Jews, they're Gentiles. Even they call on God. Now, I don't know what God they call on. They call on God. You know, even today in our society, even the Buddhists, huh? You know the Buddhists, when something happened, they call on Buddha. Am I right? They start chanting for Buddha. And the Catholics, they pray to Mary. You know, they pray to Mary, am I right? With those beads. And Islamists, people who believe in Islam, they call out to Allah. Am I right?
Amen.
Allah, right? And even people who don't profess a God, when something happened, they still say, "Oh God." Am I right? Or in the West, "Oh my God," right? "Oh my God. Oh my God." They actually don't know who God is. They have no God, but they still say, "Oh my God," right? So it is human need, and when they are in distress, when they have problems, and when they are suffering situation or in danger, they will call up to a higher power for deliverance, for salvation.
Yeah.
That's only human. Human are like that. So even the Gentiles call. So calling on God, it's quite universal.
Amen.
Actually, I would say it's quite human.
Amen.
So what about us? Now yesterday I read the footnote to you, and you have to spend time to restudy that footnote, and that is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 21. Footnote number 1. You've got to study it with the help of these verses I printed out in the coming weeks. Okay? You study it. But that footnote, I'm not going to go over again, simply stated, that footnote gives us a concise history of God's people. Their practice, or the practice of God's people in calling on him, who is their God, Jehovah, their God. And to us in the New Testament Jehovah is Jesus.
Amen.
You know that, right? Jesus is the Old Testament Jehovah.
Amen.
So the proper Jews, starting from the fourth generation of mankind, these were actually not Jews, but these were people at the time. They started to, this is pre-Israel. They started to what? These are people of God. They started a practice with the man named Enosh. Enosh. Enosh, the word names frail, weak, fragile. That is a total, complete description of every human being.
Amen.
I think all our names are Enosh.
Amen.
You are Enosh, you know, sisters, that's your real name. Your name is not Mary, your name is not Jane, your name is Enosh. And we brothers, everyone is an Enosh.
Amen.
You agree?
Amen.
Especially now I'm getting old, every day I feel I need the Lord. I mean, because anything can happen to an old person. You know, a slip, you know what I mean? Just a little bit, even you bend down and you can hurt your back. When I was young, nothing like this. I jump over fences, I do all kinds of things, nothing happened. Now I'm starting to have to be a little careful. Why? Because my name is Enosh. All of us are fragile. And so because of that, that realization of one's own frailty, one's own fragility, there is a need for God, for God's safeguarding, for God's help. Am I right?
Amen.
For God's upholding.
Amen.
For God's salvation. So man began to do one thing. Not many things. Not many things. He just began to do one thing. And that one thing set an example. That one practice sets an example for, I say, for eternity, for the entire human race,
Amen.
And especially for those who believe in God.
Amen.
What is that? That is the calling on the name of God.
Amen.
At that time, there's no, you know, God was not known like we know God today. But still, they what? They call on his name. Now, brothers and sisters, this is a great, great thing. This is a great, great tradition in human race. And so after these ones call, these people call, and then the Lord, because of the fall of mankind, went to call a special race to himself as his people. And that would be the Jewish race, the Abrahamic race. The descendants of Abraham is a new race, the call race, not the created race, but the call race to be God's own people. And with these people, starting with Abraham, the father, he is the granddaddy, okay, of all the Israelites, and he established this practice. Everywhere he went, he what? He built an altar. He erected a tent. And he called upon the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
Everywhere he went, he did these three things. He built an altar. He built a tent. And he called upon Jehovah's name.
Amen.
Now, let me tell you, that not only sets an example of a life for the Jews, Israelites, but even a life for us, who are also descendants of Abraham.
Amen.
Spiritual descendants of Abraham. Today, our life should comprise of three things. Number one, an altar.
Amen.
We who are the believers of Christ. A life with an altar. That means a life that is consecrated unto God. Because we belong to Him. Number two, we need to live a life with a tent. That means we are not people rooted on this earth. We consider ourselves as travelers, sojourners, passing by the earth. We don't belong here. We belong to another country, a heavenly country. So that's number two. But there's a third sign of a real believer's living. What is that? The sign of calling on God.
Amen.
Calling on Jehovah. So here you are in Campbell, as the church in Campbell. What is your testimony? I say these three things are your testimony.
Amen.
There's a people here in Campbell. There's 70, 80 of them, or however many here. They live a life with an altar unto the Lord.
Amen.
They live unto God. They don't live to themselves. Today we live unto Christ, who died for us and rose again.
Amen.
This is our life. This is our testimony.
Amen.
And number two, we live a heavenly life.
Amen.
We are not like people on the earth, crawling around, eating dust like the snake. We are birds. We soar. We belong to the heavens.
Amen.
We breathe the heavenly air.
Amen.
We're in another atmosphere. We live in another realm.
Amen.
We don't send our roots down in this world. But number three, there's another very important sign, and that is we call upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in the early Christian church, a sure sign of these Christians is that they call on the Lord. So much so that Saul, the persecutor, who became Paul later on, identified these church people, these Christians, by that sign. You know, that call sign. Today, the pilots, they all have call sign. They have a call sign. And that sign is their calling on the Lord. And if these believers only call in their heart, or if these believers only call in their room, Paul had no way of knowing them. This should prove one thing, and that is their calling is audible. Do you follow me?
Amen.
It can be heard.
Right.
It's not a silent calling. It's not a secret calling.
Right.
They call loudly, so they are heard. They also call publicly, so they are seen. So it's easy for Paul or Saul to find them and arrest them. And he has the authority with a letter from the scribes and the priests to arrest them. That was Saul.
Amen.
Their calling on the name of Jesus is a sign, that they are believers,
amen,
and they are therefore hated,
amen,
by those Jews.
Amen.
They hate that name Jesus. They hate these believers. And so when Saul was on the way to Damascus, the Lord shined on him from the heavens, and he said, what? Saul, Saul, why do you persecute what?
Me.
Saul would say, I didn't persecute you. I just persecute people who call on you. But to Jesus, whoever calls on him, he's part of him.
Amen.
Amen.
Every color, real color of Jesus,
Amen.
Is part of Jesus.
Amen.
So, dear saints, that is the New Testament calling. So, I, in a very brief way, went through the whole Bible. Enosh, Abraham, and the early disciples. They all, as God's people, did one thing. Call on the name of the Lord. And so, by saying this, I hope you're all impressed again that calling on the Lord is not a small side practice.
Amen.
Like, I can do it, I cannot do it.
Amen.
I wish the Lord would open our eyes and reveal Himself to us again in this matter, so that we have a new realization of how, just how important calling on the name of the Lord really is.
Amen.
We must do it, dear saints.
Amen.
We must do it every day.
Amen.
We must do it often.
Amen.
We must do it audibly.
Amen.
We must do it all the time, as these people, God's people, did. All right?
Amen.
I feel these days we need a recovery of calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
We started to, all Christians actually practice this, but they did not realize this is a particular practice. But even you look at some of these hymns,
Amen.
On the Lord's name,
right.
A few, at least one or two are written by Sister M.E. Barber.
Amen.
There's a Sister M.E. Barber who mentored Brother Watchman Nee when he was young. He wrote a couple of these hymns.
Right, right.
So the name of, and some of the songs we sang, even this one, the name of Jesus is so sweet. These are not written by us. These are written by other Christians before us. And there are a lot of songs on the Lord's name,
yeah.
Not just by us. So the Lord's name is special,
right.
To God's people. That's not new. That's not new. But what's new with us, beginning in the 1960s, is not that we never call on the Lord. You know, even when we pray, oh Lord, you're calling, right?
Amen.
But in the 1960s especially, there arose a kind of a special move of the Spirit and a special practice amongst the saints. And of course, with our brother going back to study this matter in the Bible, discovering these things, all this put together, I like to tell you, over 50 years ago, this matter of calling on the name of the Lord became a particular, prevailing, strong, deliberate practice in the local churches.
Amen.
And that changed the Lord's recovery. Calling on the name of the Lord changed the Lord's recovery. It uplifted the Lord's recovery to a much higher place.
Amen.
Saints who were not living, they call on the name of the Lord, and they became living.
Amen.
Saints who were just deadened, they call on the name of the Lord, and they got resurrected.
Amen.
Saints who were enslaved by many things, by sin, by themselves, and could not be delivered, they call on the name of the Lord, and they experience deliverance.
Amen.
No, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. We have a lot of testimonies by the saints.
Amen.
It's almost miraculous. Let me tell you, this is a real miracle.
Amen.
Not that kind of, miracle. This is a real miracle.
Amen.
Because it's according to the law. Actually, brothers and sisters, calling on the name of the Lord is the starting of prayer.
Amen.
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 You know, Christians should pray, and Christians have the privilege to pray.
Amen.
It's a great thing. But I'd like to tell you, calling on the name of the Lord is the entrance to prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's say you should pray. I tell you, oh, you should pray. Then you say, pray what? How do I start? I'll tell you how to start. You just, by yourself or with your companions or in the church meeting, you just start to call on that name.
Amen.
You don't need to think about what to pray for. Forget about that. You just start to call on that name.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
Oh Lord.
Amen.
I tell you, the more you call this way, the Spirit begins to move within you.
Amen.
The feeling would come.
Amen.
The burden would come.
Amen.
The utterances would come.
Amen.
And you will begin to enter into prayer.
Amen.
Now in the morning, when you get up, brothers and sisters, what do you do? I hope the first thing is not to go to your check your Facebook, huh? The first thing is not even to talk to your spouse. The first thing when we get up is not even to pray. The first thing when you get up, practice to call.
Amen.
I do that. Just call. And as I walk to the bathroom, to the bathroom, right? To do my thing, I call.
Amen.
I call. Then I get into the shower. I shower in the morning. And when I'm in the shower is the best place to call. Somehow, when those hot water hit me from the shower head, oh, I'm full of calling. No joking. I just call. I don't even think of this to pray, that to pray. No, nothing. I just call. I call audibly. At least I can hear myself. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Not that loud. I'm not shouting. I'm not screaming. But I'm calling in a very deep way.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. I'm showering. I'm doing the things. I'm shaving, I'm whatever I'm doing. Oh Lord, oh Lord. And many minutes I'm not sitting there doing nothing, just oh Lord, I'm doing the necessary things, but I'm calling. And I cannot tell you what that calling does. And it's always very exciting because you don't know what to expect. Sometimes when I call and call and call, there would be such love that wells up within me for the Lord.
Amen.
And I start to converse with the Lord in a loving way. Lord, I love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for being my Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are so sweet. And sometimes as I'm doing that, a song would come to me. You know, like a chorus, not the whole song, a chorus would come to me. And I would sing that chorus in the shower. It's good to sing in the shower. And other times, when I call and call, some light, some conviction would come. I don't know where it came from. I didn't think about it. I just call, and the Lord comes. And then the Lord would touch, the Spirit comes. The Spirit would touch me about this. Just one thing. How about this? How about yesterday, your attitude towards your wife? I forgot about it. I forgot. But the Spirit is, the more I call, the Spirit is incessant.
Amen.
You're wrong.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus. Amen. The more I, oh, Lord Jesus, the more the Spirit says you're wrong.
Amen.
You're wrong.
Amen.
You shouldn't. You are proud. You are trying to keep your male pride. You know? Your male pride to say this to your wife.
Amen.
Oh, then eventually I have to confess. I have to repent. And then another time, as I call, something came up within me to pray for a certain saint or to pray for a certain situation. Do you see what I'm saying?
Amen.
That's why I say calling on the Lord, this spiritual breathing, is the entrance and the gateway to all prayers and petitions and supplications.
Amen.
This is Ephesians chapter 6.
Amen.
But don't start with petitioning. Don't start with thinking about something to pray. Just start to call.
Amen.
You know, when you call, you wake the Lord up. You know, it's like the Lord is sleeping. When you call, you wake him up. And he is the Spirit. And when you call that name, the person responds.
Amen.
And that means the Spirit responds. And when you call that way, the Spirit will come. And the Spirit will be there to do very actively, to do all kinds of things in your spirit.
Amen.
Sometimes, when I call, nothing like this happened that I describe, but I just feel so supplied. I feel so energized.
Amen.
I feel so enriched. I feel very strengthened. Sometimes I was a little nervous, anxious about something. When I call and call and call, I feel comforted.
Amen.
I feel very safe.
Amen.
I feel I'm in a safe place.
Amen.
I feel okay. Do you see this?
Amen.
Oh, brothers and sisters, all kinds of goodness are in this name.
Amen.
The name of Jesus.
Amen.
There is no other name given under heaven.
Amen.
By which men must be saved.
Right.
No other things, no other name. God only gave us one name.
Amen.
To mankind, the name of Jesus. That means everything is in that name.
Amen.
Everything that you need is in that name.
Amen.
There's not one thing you need that is not in that name.
Amen.
So call that name.
Amen.
But don't think about it. Don't just think about it. And don't call in your heart. In Romans chapter 10, it talks about whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Number one. Then it says what? The Lord is rich to all who call upon him. But right before that, he talks about what? The pastor talks about that the word is near us, even in our mouth and in our heart. You know what is that word? That word is the living Christ.
Amen.
As the Spirit.
Amen.
He is like the air in our mouth and in our heart.
Amen.
Then it says, whoever would believe in their heart, and whoever confesses with their mouth, will be saved.
Amen.
So, dear ones, we need to use our heart to call on the Lord for sure. Otherwise, it's insincere. It's just from the lips. It has to be from the heart, deep from the heart. But you need to use your mouth.
Amen.
To cooperate with your heart.
Amen.
Some people say, is God deaf? You know what I'm saying? God wears a hearing aid. God cannot hear me, that I have to speak audibly? No, God is not deaf. God can hear everything. Even if you don't say anything, He can hear it. To call on the Lord out loud is not for God to hear. To call on the Lord out loud is for us to hear.
Amen.
You need to hear your calling on the Lord's name.
Amen.
And it's for Satan to hear.
Right.
We are Jesus' callers.
Amen.
And it's even for people to hear.
Right.
Like the early Christians. We are Christians. And we are not ashamed to confess that highest name.
Amen.
So brothers and sisters, I have a lot more to say. This is the first one. I'm going to go back to Southern California. Wherever I go, I'm going to probably be spending months to just speak about calling on the name of the Lord until it's recovered.
Amen.
There's too much in this practice.
Amen.
So, now, how do we practice it? I just told you already, in the morning, personally, okay? You practice this. Then, I like to suggest that you practice calling on the Lord together. Calling on the Lord personally is wonderful, but calling together is more wonderful.
Amen.
So I like to suggest, okay, you're the church in Campbell, right? I like to suggest, as you have done before, that the church or part of the church, whatever, would go away to a camp, go away to the forest, go away to where places where there's nobody, not even animals, nothing. Okay? And once upon a time, you went to the Alpha House. You could not even get signal on your phone, which is wonderful. So there, you spend a night, you spend 24 hours. That's all you need, 24 hours. From Friday night to Saturday night, all the saints who go there would put away everything, no phone, no nothing. They just go there to practice calling on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You say, really, for 24 hours? I bet you, after 24 hours, you would want another 24 hours. If you have touched the goodness and the joy of calling on the name of the Lord. Now, yesterday I didn't say that. I should have said that to recommend this to all the churches. But I'm not there today. I'm here. So I'm going to recommend to the church in Campbell very soon. Don't wait. Don't plan, oh, maybe in May we'll do this. Too late. You're dead already. No. Next month.
Amen.
Next month. Oh, you say there's snow. No problem.
Amen.
Calling on the Lord will make you warm. Will make you hot.
Amen.
Go and melt the snow, right?
Amen.
Go.
Amen.
You don't need messages. You don't need to prepare. You will speak this. Forget about that. Go and call on the Lord.
Amen.
With these verses.
Amen.
All these things are all here. You just use this and practice calling on the Lord.
Amen.
And testify to one another what you enjoy. And then go off and call some more.
Amen.
Call individually. Call in small groups. Call together as a big group. Call together as a church. I don't care. Just call.
Amen.
And call. And call until this calling brings forth so much joy.
Amen.
So much salvation.
Amen.
So much enjoyment.
Amen.
So real, the Lord would become so real again.
Amen.
To every one of us.
Amen.
Deep breathing in the morning. Some of you need to go out to the mountain and shout. I mean that.
Amen.
Don't care for your face so much. You know, sisters, don't love your face so much. And brothers, too. Don't love your face. Lose your face and gain Christ.
Amen.
That's a bargain, huh? Lose your face and gain Christ. What a bargain. So just, Lord Jesus, just call. and call until you touch the Spirit, until you touch the Lord, until the Lord fills you up, until you even become drunk, drunk with the name of the Lord. You know, in Song of Song, your name is as ointment poured forth. Your love is sweeter than wine. Dear saints, when you call, you fall in love with the Lord, you just get drunk. You just get drunk. You get crazy. You get beside yourself. You get into a trance. Then the wind will blow. The cloud will come. The fire will burn. All manners of things will happen within you. And then, you know what? You have a new beginning.
Amen.
You have a new spiritual beginning. I pray that in the church in Campbell, every saint here in these days, soon, not in May, soon,
Amen.
Will have a new spiritual season.
Amen.
2017, a new spiritual year.
Amen.
And also the whole church in Campbell will have a new beginning.
Amen.
New relationships. Even the Lord, as you call, the Lord will touch you, sister. Why you keep having trouble with that sister? Why are you always jealous of her? I cannot say that. I don't even know that. But the Spirit knows. The Lord, who searches the heart, knows our inward situation.
Amen.
And He would touch you.
Amen.
Brother, why have you always something against that brother?
Amen.
Why?
Amen.
Oh, I tell you, after much calling, I tell you, the tears will come.
Amen.
Even weeping.
Amen.
Even falling down on your knees.
Amen.
Like I say, you may even beat your breast. No, no, I'm not joking. I fall on the floor. I cry because of my poor attitude towards a brother. And then the Lord, through my confession and repentance, would replace my heart with a heart of love for my brother.
Amen.
That love that was never there, but because of my calling,
Amen.
And the repentance. You know what is repentance and confession? Repentance and confession is to empty out, is to exhale. Exhale the carbon dioxide,
Amen.
The CO2. Breathe it out so that you can breathe in the oxygen. Breathe in Christ. Breathe in love.
Amen.
Breathe in forgiveness.
Amen.
For so long you cannot forgive that offense. Now by calling on the Lord, you're filled with the Spirit of forgiveness.
Amen.
And you can forgive. That's the Lord. You're experiencing Christ. Will you do this?
Amen.
Okay, I stop here. And I'd like all of us to sing a song. And then maybe some can share. What song? The song by A.B. Simpson. I am breathing, breathing, breathing. That breathing, you can change it to calling.
Amen.
I'm calling out my sorrows. I'm calling out my sin. I'm calling, calling, calling.
Amen.
All your spirit in, or something like that.
Amen.
Well, let's just use the word breathing. Let's just use the word breathing, okay? What is it?
English 225.
How about Chinese?
Oh, 10.
All right, so let's sing this. Amen.
255, I'm sorry. 255. English 255.
Let's stand.